This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1759. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded February 5th, Alaska, Australia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Cuba, Cyprus, Guyana, Japan, Myanmar, Navassa, New Zealand, Nigeria, Rwanda, Spain, Sudan, Ukraine, USA, Vanuatu, Yemen, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we had a mystery log from Walt Salmaneve in British Columbia, who was hearing, apparently from Alaska, a NAVTEX transmission, that's digital weather information, within the medium wave broadcast band 602 kilohertz. Well, this is explained by Ben Dawson of Hatfield Dawson in Washington State as intermodulation in Kodiak, Alaska, between NAVTEX on its usual frequency 518 and the local broadcast station KVOK on 560. Those frequencies are separated by the same amount of kilohertz, 42. I call them leapfrog mixing products, which we also hear on shortwave. Yes, it's happened. The drastic cutbacks at Radio Australia went through, although not exactly on time, January 31st. At first, the frequency we were depending on, 9580, was missing after 13 UT, and then they were heard on some unexpected frequencies. But by the next day, February 1st, they had settled into their new schedule of only three frequencies at once on three different antennas, each running 12 hours a day. 9580 is still good for us in the mornings. It's now on the air, however, all the way from 09 until 21 UT, and fades out before noon in North America, shall we say, while the other two frequencies, which aren't aimed directly at us, are even worse, unusable in the daytime, 12065 and 12085. Then from 21 until 09 UT, the one aimed at us is 17840, which can provide fair reception at first, but fades out after sundown, as well as the other two, which aren't aimed at us, 15415 and 15240. So we can no longer hear Radio Australia later in the evenings. We used to have it well on 11945 and 13630 as late as 06 UT. 12065, now aimed 355 degrees from Shepparton, seems to be providing best results in Europe, at least better than 12085, which is aimed toward the north-northeast. However, the new schedule seems to have been rather ill-chosen, colliding with some other stations which were already on the now expanded frequencies. For example, Ivo Ivanov points out that the BBC in Urdu to South Asia via Singapore is still on 12065 between 15 and 16 UT, and now so is Radio Australia. This kind of collision is really unforgivable. Obviously, some bureaucrat at ABC who knows nothing about shortwave picked some of the existing frequencies and ordered them expanded to 12 hours a day each, no matter who else might already be using them. And I suppose they disposed of Bernd Friedewald's frequency management sometime earlier. Radio Liberty is having a hard time in Azerbaijan. Press release from the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors says they condemn extended detention of Khadija Ismailova. She was jailed some time ago. An investigative reporter and contributor to RFERL's Azerbaijani service. Her pre-trial detention has been extended. She was about to be released on February 5th, but it was extended by 2 months. She was arrested on politically motivated charges December 5th and could serve 3 to 7 years in prison if convicted. There's much more to this story. We have the full items in the new DX Listing Digest 15-05 when published via worldofradio.com. Thanks to Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany for passing those stories on to us. The following I could mention every week, but I've restrained myself. Something is very out of order with the 11780 transmitter in Brasilia. It's a big signal carrying the Amazon service and has lots of good music. It's slightly off frequency to the high side. But even worse, it is accompanied by extremely distorted spurs on each side. Fortunately, they are considerably weaker, but they're still enough to annoy and cause interference to other stations. Lately, they've been separated by about 35 kilohertz on 11745 and 11815. I hear them most evenings, as late as 0600, but occasionally a second-order spur, another 35 kilohertz down, is audible, crackling away on 11710. Now that one is capable of interfering with their neighbor Rai in Argentina earlier in the evenings. They've reduced these spurs before, but never completely rid themselves of them, so I keep logging them and reporting them. People around Montreal who enjoy listening to Vermont Public Radio from just across the border on FM may breathe a sigh of relief. In AM Switch from NRC DX News, it's reported that CJLO 1690 in Montreal will not get an FM repeater on 107.9, not because it would block the signal of WVPS in Burlington, Vermont, which has many listeners and supporters in the Montreal area, because there is no obligation to protect U.S. stations. Instead, they will not be getting the relay because CJLO did not show a compelling technical need for it. Besides a trace of it, perhaps heard by Walt Salmaniv on his de-expedition in British Columbia, I've yet to see any firm reports of the pirate in Chile called RCW, or Radio Compañía Worldwide, on 7550. But it continues to be quite active, and it's heard very well by, at least by, Claudio Galas, who is also in Chile. During the local evening hours, they relay some DX programs in Spanish, or even Radio France International, and also play music from different decades from one night to the next. Not much power, I'm sure, but keep an ear on that frequency if you can, 7550. The Chi-Com continue to ruthlessly jam stations which question their authority, primarily Sound of Hope, based in California, but with many little transmitters in Taiwan, and a few big ones. But the CNR1 programming from China is used to jam even the little Sound of Hope frequencies. I often hear them after sunrise here, but on February 1st, I logged 24 jamming frequencies at once between midnight 33 and midnight 54 UT. They ranged from 16980 down to 11530, most of them out of band. Ron Howard in California reports that Gan'an PBS in China is being heard on 3990 parallel to 5970 until sign-off at 1412 UT January 29th. They're carrying CNR11 programming parallel to 6010 and 7350 in Tibetan rather than Chinese. Not to be confused with another station on 3990 in China, PBS Xinjiang, which would be in the Uyghur language, which is quite different. Thanks to Hiroshi and Seichi Hasegawa for the current schedule of Gan'an PBS's Tibetan service, 2250 to 01 UT on 3990 and 5970, and on the same frequencies again at 1020 until 1415. There's only a one-hour relay of the CNR11 service from 13 to 14 UT. Here is a strange from Naples, Florida. Hans Johnson reports via Alokesh Gupta, Cumbre DX, that the Global 2 internet audio feed of WWRB was heard relaying Radio Havana Cuba in Spanish 2210 UT, February 1st, with IDs Music and Talk. He says it sounded like a feed taken off a shortwave signal with fading and static. Only thing I could figure out that might explain it would be they were tuned to WWRB's 5050 frequency, picking it up off the air, and we're getting Havana from 5040. Via Mike Barraclough and Hans-Jürg Biener, this press release from the BBC World Service, February 3rd. The BBC announces that the English-language radio broadcast to the Eastern Mediterranean, Israel, Lebanon, Cyprus, southern Turkey, on 1323 kilohertz will end on 25 April 2015. BBC World Service Director Fran Unsworth says, "Our English-language service will still be on satellite and internet. How our audiences tune in, we cannot identify a financially viable method by which to continue medium-wave radio." That Doom transmitter is in Cyprus. Big news this week, however, is that a shortwave country has reactivated its Guyana on 3290 kilohertz. We've been expecting this for several months since we heard from Jamie Labadia, the shortwave transmitter engineer who has been involved with some exotic stations around the world, most recently putting on the air the new clandestine in South Korea Voice of Freedom on 6135. But now he's gone to Guyana to get them back on the air, and they were on by February 2nd, he told us, with 400 watts, which was all he could manage initially, and then a couple of days later, he had it up to 1,000 watts. It was originally a 10-kilowatt transmitter, and it's on the air all night. I can hear it after 06 UT, when noise abates around here, but it's still quite a weak signal. They are still relaying the BBC World Service overnight, starting at 0400. So if you want to hear local programming, you need to listen before then. It's been heard quite well by Brandon Jordan in Tennessee, and many others have tuned it in as well. 3290 for the reactivated Voice of Guyana. It seems that Jamie Labadia had also repaired their transmitter previously, getting them back on the air for a while. But the last time it had been reported before now was July 27th, 2012. By the way, I can tell the frequency is slightly on the low side. Brandon Jordan measured it 27 hertz below 3290, and Walt Salmonave in British Columbia measured it 23 hertz low. We have another new frequency for Shokaze or Seabreeze from Japan about abductions by North Korea. Ivo Ivanov says the 16 to 17 UT broadcast has moved from 6110 to 5955. As usual, including English on Thursdays. Unfortunately, that entire hour is totally covered, at least in Europe, by Radio Romania International in Ukrainian and Serbian. And in Europe, I suppose the earlier broadcast would not be propagating, but we do hear it in Western and Central North America, 1330 to 1430 on 6135. About Myanmar Radio or Burma, Ron Howard reports, on exactly 5985, Wednesday, January 28th at 1537, they were in English with weather, and then their national slogans, which are, "Our three main national causes, non-disintegration of the Union, non-disintegration of national solidarity, perpetuation of sovereignty." And then at 1539, they brought up the Voice of America's Learning English program, American Mosaic. Their other frequency, January 28th until closing at 1500, sometimes runs later, was 7185.76 in vernacular. On January 30th, it did run later. They had usual theme music at the top of the hour and didn't sign off until 1601 after their programming of the distance learning service, partly in English. However, by February 4th, the 41-meter band frequency had changed to exactly 7200. He says it was back in June of 2012 that I last heard them on this exact frequency. A pop music show until off at 1500. It was in vernacular. The last few days, the one it replaced, 7185.76, had been silent. Via FM, AM, satellite, internet, and shortwave, this is World of Radio 1759. Our thanks this week for financial support from Mike Massa, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. It's also possible to contribute by a check or money order in the mail in U.S. funds to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Consult our website for a lot more information, which is also supported by contributions, worldofradio.com. As I predicted last week, the Navassa Island Hamdi expedition is underway, roughly the first 2 weeks in February. The frequency where I've been hearing Kilo 1 November the most is 21205 USB, subject to change. You may be able to find it on other bands by checking out the huge pileups, not only on adjacent frequencies, 5 or 10 kilohertz up, but even 15, 20, or 25. It's really an incredible situation, and it brings out the worst in many hams as they vie for a valuable contact with a very rare ham radio country. Their frequency usage is not displayed on their de-expedition website, hoping to diminish the amount of destructive interference by spoiler hams. Navassa Island, in case you're wondering, is between Jamaica and Haiti, and some hams on the team and the equipment had to be brought in by helicopter. On February 2nd, I was very pleased to discover that Radio New Zealand International had made a surprise frequency change from 5950 to 9700 between 1300 and 1745 UT. 5950 during the first part of those hours was, of course, fading out in North America, but now it holds up as quite a good signal and a good alternative to Radio Australia, which on weekdays is mostly playing Triple J music. Another big story this week is a new target broadcast for a particular ethnic group in Nigeria, sponsored by the U.S. Agency for International Development. Ivo Ivanov had been hearing some test transmissions via Babcock Ascension Island, and the new update to the World Radio TV Handbook via WRTH.com has the details. It is called Dandalkura, D-A-N-D-A-L-K-U-R-A. They refer us to the USAID.gov/political-transition-initiatives for more info. However, I could not find anything about it yet on the USAID website. Anyhow, the new broadcasts are via Ascension daily at 05 to 06 UT on 9440 and 18 to 19 on 12065. Searching around, I found some tweets from Dandalkura, briefly explaining in fractured English, Dandalkura is a radio program discussing issues that affects the northern Nigeria, targeting the troubled states of northeast, that is, Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe. And then there were some individual tweets, presumably in the Kanuri language, mentioning a frequency 12055, but apparently they're really on 12065, despite Radio Australia just expanding its hours on that frequency, including 18 to 19. That time of day, noon here, I can't hear either one. But the 05 to 06 broadcast comes in well enough on 9440. I was listening February 1st from 0520. There was a tonal African language, brief bits of music by African group singers, but mostly talk and low-fidelity phoners from noisy locations. I couldn't understand a word of it except toward the end, Nigeria and www.com. So, haven't they adopted a single word from English? The British colonists failed. Just who are these Kanuri? Ivo Ivanov found a bit about them, maybe Wikipedia. Kanuri is a dialect spoken by 4 million people in Nigeria, Niger, Chad, Cameroon, and small minorities in southern Libya, and by a diaspora in Sudan. It belongs to the Western Saharan subphylum of Nilo-Saharan. My question is, why have USAID bestowed such a 2-hour shortwave service upon the Kanuri, while there are countless other minority ethnic groups in Nigeria and elsewhere which have no such benefits? It may require a search deeper into the USAID Political Transition Initiative's website. Perhaps Boko Haram terrorism in the area has something to do with it. Well, we have several big stories this week, and here's another. Prepare to write off another major shortwave transmitter site, Kigali, Rwanda. Stephen Cooper said, I've read that it will be closing as of the A15 season. All transmissions move to other sites. And he wanted more information. Ivo Ivanov came up with it, apparently having asked somebody at Deutsche Welle about it, got this reply. The Deutsche Welle relay station in Kigali, Rwanda will be closed at the end of B14 season and dismantled afterwards. All DW shortwave services in English, Amharic, French, Hausa, Swahili, Dari, and Pashto will be continued in A15 by rentals at the same times and to the same service areas, that is, via other transmitter sites. That's from Thomas Feustel, F-E-U-S-T-E-L, of Technical Distribution. So that means the last Sunday in March will be the day that we can no longer hear Rwanda on shortwave, probably also applying to RRR 6055, the country's own station, which has been operating from the same site. As Kai Ludwig confirms, Deutsche Welle broadcasts have already been reduced to the point where there's only one English broadcast left that we can hear relayed via Rwanda, should we be awake, 07 to 08 UT on 15275. It does propagate sometimes, even though it's in the middle of the night. You may recall that since reactivation in December, Radio Exterior de España on shortwave has been using 4 frequencies, between 15 and 23 on weekends, 19 and 23 on weekdays. However, lately, Ivo Ivanov has been noting that only 2 have been in use, 9620 and 11940, with nothing heard on 11685 or 12030. Well, the following may explain that. Thanks to Marty Delphine in Spain for translating an article from La Coruña, La Opinión Coruña, about this subject. Spanish fishermen demand that Radio Exterior use higher frequencies for their broadcasts. Fleets trawling in the southern hemisphere complain about interference and bad reception. And then from Pedro Sedano and Matisyas Dekis of the Platform in Defense of Shortwave, a lobbying group which was largely responsible for getting shortwave broadcasts resumed, Radio Exterior says it will optimize its shortwave frequencies for better reception quality. However, that optimization seems to be initially to drop 2 of them, which apparently are the ones which aren't working so well. The Mariners want them back up on 15, 17, and 21 megahertz, but REE says they will not be making any additions until the beginning of the A15 season, at the end of March. Last week I mentioned that the target or clandestine broadcasts for Sudan, Radio Tamazuch, and Radio Davanga, had moved 5 kilohertz via the Vatican transmitter from 15550 to 15555, between 15 and 1630 UT, thus no longer colliding with WJHR in Florida. However, as of February 2nd, the Sudanese jammers had not noticed, and they were still doing their tone jamming on WJHR's frequency after 1530, that is, 15550. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the neighborhood, I noticed on January 30th that the Voice of Tibet via Madagascar is still making a 5 kilohertz jump itself, trying to fake out Chinese communist jammers. They start at 1400 UT on 15525, but at 1407 they jump to 15530. However, I'm not hearing any of the jamming before or after on either frequency. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports that radio broadcasting of Ukraine's world service on medium wave has changed its time and target area from January 28th on 1431 kilohertz, which is 800 kilowatts. 16 to 20 UT, only in Russian, they've dropped the Ukrainian language broadcast from 17 to 19. He says this is for northeast Russia, or maybe meaning toward the northeast. However, in Rustyek, Viktor Chekhanovich reports that January 28th, the Luk or Mykolaiv transmitting center on 1431 turned its antenna to the southeast, and they want reports for their schedule from 17 to 21 UT. And from the Arctic Radio Club via Rustyek, Bent Eriksson in Sweden says there's a new transmitter of Ukrainian Radio 1 on 1278 kilohertz. First heard January 29th at 1740. Very powerful. And it was atop Iran in the background. Monoritola says the transmitter is near Odessa. Brock Whaley in Ireland sends this from allaccess.com. House bill takes aim at Radio TV Marti. Betty McCollum, Democrat of Minnesota, has introduced a bill to end Radio and TV Marti. It's called the Stop Wasting Taxpayer Money on Cuba Broadcasting Act, H.R. 570. She says it's cost taxpayers $770 megadollars over 30 years, and they are outdated Cold War artifacts which should cease immediately. However, Stephen Luce says, since it's introduced by a Democrat, it'll probably go nowhere. On January 30th and 31st, during the noon hour here, after 18 or 19 UT, I was enjoying medium wave DX by Skywave in the middle of the day as the sun was still low enough and conditions were optimum. I was getting stations as far away as Chicago, Cincinnati, and Louisville, and many closer in, which would not normally be audible in the daytime. Protect My Public Media is very pleased. On February 3rd, President Obama sent his annual budget to Congress, and he includes federal funding for public media. This is a big deal. Last week, we had many reports of Vanuatu on an extended schedule on 3945. But in Australian DX News, John O'Wright says he heard on Radio New Zealand that the head of government there wants to close down the shortwave transmitters as they need spare parts and a shortage of techs to service them. They want to put it instead 50 low-powered FM transmitters around the islands. Despite the change of government in Yemen, Ivo Ivanov says the sporadic Radio Sana'a English broadcast was heard again January 30th at 18:30 on 6135. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field active to minor storm levels persisting through February 9th. A and K indices peaking at 12 and 4 on the 15th, 15 and 3 on the 27th. Solar flux peaking at 130 February 9th, dipping to 115 on the 18th, and back up to 135 February 26th. And that's World of Radio 1759. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.